live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, merry, merry leap year. Is it leap year? I suppose it might not be. It is to me because I'm recording this on the 29th. Yes, the 29th. You don't get many of them to the pound. Well, you get one every 4 years, I suppose. So you do get a few of them to the pound. Well, not necessarily to the pound, but you get a few. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, enough waffle. How the devil have you been? I do hope well. What's happening to me? Well, I'm a very busy boy because we have a flat viewing soon because our landlord is selling the flat. Yes, it's the second time he's tried. The first time he said we got informed he was trying to sell the flat because of, and I quote, Brexit. And we said to the letting agents, oh, right, what particular part is he worried about? It's like, Brexit. Like, right, okay, one of them, is it? And then he pulled it from the market, and I quote, due to uncertainty about Brexit. Okay, again we ask, what's the uncertainty? Uncertainty about Brexit. And then this time around, it's got back on the market. Can he ask why he's put it on? Brexit. Well, you just use some words that you don't understand, do you? So, yes, we have to have somebody come into the place where we live and say, yes, yes, I like where you've lived for the last 8 years. I may buy it from you. Yes. So that's a not nice feeling. But it is a feeling nonetheless. Anyway, so that's what's up with me. Becca's still away, so I'm still recording upstairs because I'm still terrified. I am still sleeping with the lights on also, and I am still 40 years of age. So there's a lot to be picked into there, I do believe. Anyway, enough waffle. I want to say big thank you out to everybody who downloads this. You're all keeping this a go, like Belinda Carlisle. And a big special shout out to our patrons who indeed, seriously, are financially keeping the show afloat. Just head above water, Stiley. So thank you very much. And of course, we have some new patrons I'd like to say hello to. The guitar's out. We've got two new patrons this week. We have Deborah Warre, or is it War? I don't know. W-A-R-R-E. And Molly Healy. So this song is for you. I met a couple girls on the Patreon. Her name was Deborah Warre, or is it War? I'm sorry if I'm just getting your name wrong. I do apologize. I met another girl on the Patreon. Her name was Molly Healy, that's easy to say. That's easy if you try it anyway. Join in, Molly Healy and Deborah Warre. Sorry, Deb, I've got no idea how you pronounce your last name, but it's a beautiful name nonetheless. And thank you, Molly, also. If you'd like to sign up to our Patreon and support the show, which is vitally needed, and get your name sung out by me, God knows everybody wants that, go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. And I will be eternally grateful. Thank you very much. Just to say, I know we have got another Patreon that's came in by the name, I believe, of Jennifer. So thank you, Jennifer. Your song will be getting sung out next week because next week's show will... Oh, it's Jessica, sorry. Bloody hell, Jennifer. It's Jessica. So Jessica, your song will be out next week because next week's show will be a pre-record because I literally have a weekend full of activities for Becca because she's returned. God bless, aren't I just cute? Said everyone in unison, no. Anyway, yeah, so thank you, patron, sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Anyway, should we see what weird things have been happening in the news this week?
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time to delve into the weirdness of what's happening this week. Now, of course, this week, well, this month in general, we're all under the watchful eye of the coronavirus. Yes, the thing which has infected literally 15 people in the UK. Just being infected with it will probably recover. But, you know, we're all absolutely shitting ourselves. You know, because it's just a flu, really. But it's a dangerous flu. Watch out. Go and get all your sanitizers. Get the food off the shelves. Bring in the dogs. Send the dogs back out. Yes. But, yes. Anyway, you may well have seen that there is now a conspiracy theory that buried deep within the 1981 novel, The Eyes of Darkness, by the author Dean Koontz, he predicted this said outbreak of coronavirus, because in his book, he refers to a mysterious killer virus known as Wuhan 400, where the original coronavirus came from. Dun, dun, yes. And in the book, it's called The Perfect Weapon. A Chinese scientist who defects to the United States carries a diskette record of China's most important and dangerous new biological weapon in a decade. It's called Wuhan 400, and it will destroy the world. And everyone's going mad and saying, oh my God, this could all... What a prediction, what a prediction. But it's not. Let's be honest, it's not. It's just absolute coincidence that he chose Wuhan to be the location of his Chinese scientist. And that's the only connection there, you know. Because in the book, there's going to be a hero, isn't there? There's going to be a hero, probably in his wife. They're going to survive at the end. And they'll be like, now we can get married on our boat. Well, can I just say, if it is a prediction, Bagsy, me and Becca being the heroes, no offence to everyone else, but like, she likes boats for one. And for two, I just prefer to live, really, yeah. But, you know, hopefully it won't wipe us all out. And if it does, we've had a good innings, haven't we? You know, we've all listened to this podcast, which is a big part of our lives. Anyway, that should tie it up for this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And here we go. It's time to tell some spooky stories. And thankfully, you know what word I'm going to use now, don't you? Yes, we all know it's going to start with a P. It rhymes with Bethera. And we've had a plethora of emails in, and I'm absolutely chuffed. Don't forget, if you want to get your stories read out on this podcast, you need to send them to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And what I'll do, you see, is I'll sit here with me vape pen, with a cup of coffee, and I'll read them out, because that's how it works. Now and again, we're interrupted by the paranormal, but hopefully not. You know, that's how it works, because I jump out the effing window. So, anyway, shall we crack on? Yes, we shall. Our first story comes in from a lady called Lynn Gale, and it's called Paranormal Events in My Childhood Shaped My Whole Life. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
My name is Lynn, and I'm originally from the wonderful state of Maryland. I've had a few paranormal experiences myself, and have also picked up stories from friends who have indulged me in my We Need to Talk About Ghosts conversations. The conversations that I inevitably bring up to just about anyone over the years. Not only have I heard some spooky tales, but these talks are also a great way to weed out the boring people who think ghosts are weird or that it's not normal to talk about such things. Who needs that kind of negativity in their life? Not I. Anyway, my first story is what really started my lifelong curiosity of the paranormal. Here it goes. One day, when I was 5, I was lying in bed waiting to fall asleep. I think I was restless because for some reason I decided to go into my closet to pick out a dress for school the next day. Not my normal routine at the time. I crossed the room to my closet, opened the door and stepped inside. My closet was pretty large and the bar that my clothes hung on was towards the back. It wasn't a full walk-in closet, but I had to step all the way into the closet to search for an outfit. Even though there was no separate light in my closet, I did not bother to turn on my bedroom light because my bedroom door was open and the hall light was on. As soon as I stepped inside, I noticed a bright green colour flash in the corner of my eye. I turned to my left and saw what I would only describe as the shadow of a man, only he was green instead of dark grey. The figure looked as if it was walking beside me, heading the same direction that I was. I gasped, and when I did, the figure paused mid-step with his arms out, almost as if he was thinking, if I don't move, the little girl won't know I'm here. I remained standing there staring at him, and I think he realised I could see him because he turned his body towards me and started raising one arm. I think he was going to wave at me, but I'm not sure because that was the moment I decided to book it back to the safety of my bed. I wasn't frightened, and I don't even think that I knew it was a ghost at the time. I just lay down and went to sleep. How the living bejesus did you just lay down and go to sleep, Lynn? Bloody hell's bells. There's a shadow man. He's green. He's waving at you. Nighty-night. What? Honest to God, fair play you. The next morning, I told my mum what happened and she laughed it off, saying it must have been my imagination. I knew what I saw was real and insisted that a green man, but then my mum made up other excuses to write it off. My dad was an atheist at the time, so he shut it down as impossible. My nana, papa, aunts and uncles all reacted the same way, so I eventually gave up trying to convince them. My mum would even joke about the green man sometimes. Thanks, Mum. Over the next few years, I checked out every ghost story book in the library and played spooky games with my friends. I told my friends about what I saw, and I doubt any of them ever believed me. But they didn't make fun of me for it either. Either way, I never saw him again. But this brings me to a few years later when I was 12 years old. My nana decided to take me on a train trip from Baltimore to Salt Lake City, Utah, to meet some family members and learn about my family roots. Fun for a history nerd like me. One morning we were eating breakfast in the dining car. We got there early so it was empty at the time, yet it didn't take long for others to start coming into the car to either eat or pass through to the observation car. One woman passed my booth and before she reached the next booth, she paused, turned, pointed to me and said, "You." Oh, fucking hell. Tell her, "Hello, I'll be getting off at the next stop, please. Yes, no, I'm afraid I've soiled my underpants. Yes." So she pointed and said, "You." "Me," I replied, and she said, "Yes, you. You have been visited by one of your ancestors." I stared at her blankly, but my heart was racing. What she told me next shocked me to my core. She then told me, "He was green to match your aura. For you, it means you will be happy in life." Honestly, you know what? If you're going to be happy in life, surely you don't need a message then. Just leave you to it. If I was God, I'd be like, "No, she doesn't. She's fine. You don't have to turn up green and waving at her. Just let her get on with it. She's having a happy life." Because you know what? You know, if you turn up and start waving coloured green, she's not going to have a happy life. She's going to absolutely shit herself. Yes, because that's how God sounds. Let me see. "He was green to match your aura. You'll be happy all your life." It was wild. My nana sitting next to me let out a low, "Whoa." There were people behind the woman waiting to sit down, so she told us to have a good day and continue through to the next car. My nana turned to me and said that the woman must have overheard me talking about the green man. I replied that there was no way she could have. We kind of left it there at that point, and I didn't see the woman again for the rest of my trip. Now, the kicker of all this is that my mum, aunts, and nana are all supposedly sensitives. They are definitely believers at the very least. I guess they didn't want me hoping I would forget. It wasn't until I got older that my mum admitted to me that she believed me, and I heard some stories from my nana and aunts too. If they believed me earlier, then maybe I wouldn't have to spend my teen years breaking into abandoned mental hospitals, abandoned Civil War barracks, supposedly haunted lakes and forests in search of more ghosts. All good times for me. Well done, Julian. That really did tickle me. Well done. Well, my next story happened when I was 12, a few months later after that train trip. It involves my nana and mum too, and I will send that in a few days. I love your podcast, especially when you wrangle Becca in to make an appearance. I hope she's back from her trip now so you're not alone in your creepy home. If she isn't, then good luck to you. Bye for now, Lynn Gale. Well, thank you, Lynn, and thank you for that ending there where you remind me that I'm in a haunted flat on my own and my partner is in the United Arab Emirates. Thank you very much. Remind me to return the favour to you. I don't know, maybe dress up like a green man and wave at you when you least expect it. Maybe. No, in all seriousness, that's an amazing story. Absolutely terrifying. Who's this woman who comes up to you? You know, if I was sat on a train and somebody came up to me and went, "You," I would literally, in a split second, be going through the pendiflex in my brain about everyone I've ever upset. I'd be like, oh God, that's the person whose daughter I treated horribly as a youth. Oh God, that's the guy who I spat on. I didn't spit on anyone. Why am I even saying that? I'm not that evil. But you know, you get the general gist. Wow, thank you, Lynn. And do send in the next story that you allude to at the end there. Please send that over. You know the address by now. contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I, of course, will read it out. Wow. Great. Already sat upstairs on my own, going dark outside. Scared already. Thanks, Lynn. Wow. Let's have another, eh? Oh, but before I do, An apology is owed because last week, only for about an hour, but I uploaded the previous week's podcast instead of that week's one. And thanks to you faithful listeners and you people on Facebook, etc., because you instantly, correctly, thankfully, advised me that I'd made a faux pas. So I had to amend it very quick, as I did. So thank you to all of those who noticed that error, and I do apologise. Anyway, enough apologising. Let's get on with the spook. Our next email comes in from the wonderful Michaela Walsh, and she has sent in a lovely email, and the email title is called Don't Piss Off Granny. She wasn't so crude as to say piss. She put P star star star. But you might get confused if I keep saying that. So it is piss. I apologise for the language in this episode, by the way. Do forgive me. Don't Piss Off Granny. This is called by Michaela. To Kevin. Quick story I heard in work. Enjoy. I will. A few weeks ago, we got a new manager called Arthur. He had just moved to Ireland from Romania. He was nice, and I was put beside him to train him and show him how to move around after he adjusted to the process. I shared my love for the paranormal and told him I had to ask if he had any stories to share on the topic. He was quite standoffish and actually rudely laughed towards the topic when I suggested it and said no. How rude. But then he paused and turned to me and he said, well, I actually have one story my grandma told me and happened to me when she minded me as a child. He began to tell me he lived with his nanny when he was 7 in the countryside in Romania. Growing up, she was quite strict with them since it was him and his two brothers that she had to keep under control, as you can imagine. He told me the countryside life was very boring. When his nanny had to care for them, and him and his brothers would have to find their own source of fun and entertainment. One day, the boys were in the kitchen and came across some knives in a drawer. Long carving ones, and they began to have a play sword fight against each other in the kitchen, completely unaware of the danger. Kids being kids and not seeing the danger, eventually Arthur cut his brother with the knife, but no serious harm being done. The brother called out dramatically, wanting his brother Arthur to get in trouble. The grandma rushed in and was extremely angry and couldn't believe that Arthur, being the oldest, was stupid enough to let them play with knives. And she stared at him and said, you're only the devil, you know. Ooh, crikey. Imagine your nan saying, you're the devil. I'd be like, am I, nan? Am I really? And you're minding me? What does that make you, nan? Oh, the devil's babysitter, obviously. Anyway. Skipping on in later life, he said he was about 18 and they were having a family dinner back in Romania for his nanny's birthday. And the topic turned into creepy experiences. And someone mentioned to his granny, hey, did you ever tell Arthur that really creepy thing that he said when he was a child? Arthur was then told that on the night his grandma yelled, you are only the devil, you know, Arthur woke up around 3:30 in the morning and ran in, sweating and scared, and began pulling on his nanny's arm. She woke and asked him what the matter was, and he began to tell her that there was someone in the room. She walked him back to his bed and checked the room and gave it the all clear and put it off as a bad dream. She sat and talked with him to try and calm him down, but also asked what the person looked like. Arthur said there was a red man with horns in his room and he had a skinny, pointy, spiky tail that moved around like a dog. Oh my effing devil. It's the devil. The devil's come and paid you a visit because your nan, who's clearly a witch, said, you're the devil. And only she's not Irish, is she? She's Romanian. How do Romanians speak? You are the devil. And you went, I'm not nanny, I'm going to bed. And then the devil woke you up and went, you are, you know. That seems to be what I believe happened in here. Christ, that's terrifying though. Apparently the religious grandmother swore she will never say these words to anyone again, as she believed it may have summoned something by accident, giving it the wrong idea that she wanted it to take one of the boys. She also said she never spoke of the devil to the boys, and Arthur would never know how to describe him, as he'd never seen a picture of him or heard any details about his appearance. Apparently, this frightened his grandmother to death, and she soon went to get the house blessed soon after. Love the podcast, and will send you more I've heard over the years very soon. From Kayla. Thank you, Kayla. That's effing terrifying. I do believe that nanny is some sort of wizard or witch, though. Can you have female wizards? Well, gender neutral. Come on, let's do it. Yes, you can. Of course you can. I here decree you can have female wizards. Anyway, that is petrifying. What the hell? I'm going to try that. When Becca gets back, I'm going to be like, you are the devil. And then in the middle of the night, she'll be like, excuse me, there's a very sunburned fellow. Because, you know, she's sceptical, so she won't appreciate that it's the devil. She'll find somewhere, Kevin, some very sunburned man seems to have acne in two places on his head and some sort of kettle lead coming out of his bottom. Can you help him? I'll be like, that's the devil, you fool. Stop being so sceptical. Anyway, Kayla, thank you very much for that story. It brings us nicely to a la midpoint. Hooray, the midpoint, a German-free midpoint, only because I forgot to do the thing at the start. I could have a middle now. I'll leave it this week. German-free. Hooray. Not that I dislike the Germans. Any listeners to the show understands what I mean there. I'm not being racist. Anywho, enough of that hornet's nest. Welcome to the midpoint, the much maligned, much misunderstood midpoint. Hooray! I love it, I do. And I know a lot of you do too. Thank you for your letters, emails and such comments to say that you like it too. I am glad. So, where are we up to? I'll let you know where we're up to. We are but 3 days away from Becca returning from the desert. Yes, from Saudi Arabia. I feel really sorry for her, to be honest. She is starting work at 6 o'clock each day. She rung me last night at 11 o'clock their time and she just got back from work. And she looked, God bless her, she looked stressed. Like, and I mean, you know, when you can't do something for someone that you care about and you're like, oh, God. So I'm like sat there with a takeaway thinking, feel really tight. Because I had just been, before she rung, I'd just been getting angry that I couldn't work out the controls to skip some of the matches in a wrestling event. And that was my stress. And Becca's stress obviously was that she's got a very important, she's working on the richest horse race in the world, like literally the richest horse race in the world, like 20 million prize fund and all this. But as little old me, can't get the telly working, and I was just as angry as her. Very, very selfish of me. So yeah, she'll be back and I can't wait because I'm terrified. Yeah, quite simply, terrified. Oh, so if you've been keeping up on my Twitter feed, you will have noticed that I've been sending daily annoyances to a local cinema, the Everyman Cinema, for them to screen the Parapod movie. Now, if you're wondering what the Parapod is, I think I touched on it last week. The Parapod is, in my opinion, the best paranormal / comedy podcast that's ever been done. It's two English comedians, a skeptic and a believer, and they discuss and argue the paranormal, similar to me and Becca when we have Becca on, except, you know, they do it professionally, if you like, and they do it much better. And I think they're very funny. So basically what they done with a successful podcast is they crowdfunded a film, a movie, yeah, and they've released it. And it's brilliant, but it's not showing in Liverpool. So I harangued daily in a comedy way. Just friendly texts and tweets to the local cinema, the Everyman Cinema here in Liverpool. Then, out of the blue, I was tweeting them every day for like a solid 30 days. And then they said, you know what, because you've pestered so much, we've asked them if they want to bring it here. But unfortunately, the dates don't work. I was like, oh, well, at least you've asked. That's brilliant. But then the Parapod themselves commented underneath that to say, no, you haven't. We'll happily do it. And I was like, hold on. Could little old me have brought an entire film to the area? And lo and behold, anyway, yesterday they tweeted me back to say, this is all because of you. And it's now on sale in Liverpool, Everyman. Yes. So if you are a Parapod fan, as in if you are aware of the show, and if you're not, go and check it out. And you're local to the northwest of England, do us both a favour, and I'll explain why now, and go and buy a ticket for the Parapod. I'm going. Becca's going. Yes, it's on one night in the Liverpool Everyman Theatre. Not theatre, cinema, sorry, because there is an Everyman Theatre as well. And why it's important that you do that is because I've literally badgered them to do this show. And they obviously had to have a conversation with the theatre. I keep saying theatre, with the cinema. Apparently the cinema were very reticent to give them another Northwest date due to the fact that although it's sold out all over the country, two areas that it's not sold out in are both in the Northwest, Manchester and Chorley. So they were very reticent to give them Liverpool as a date, but they said, go on, please do it. So now the hosts of the Parapod are saying, like, you need to sell this out to everybody who's on their Twitter. Because if you don't, we lose reputational stuff with the Everyman Cinema Group. So I kind of feel a bit responsible for that. So do me a favour and them a favour and yourself a favour, because it's going to be dead funny. Go and buy a ticket for the Parapod at Liverpool's Everyman Cinema. And I'm not getting paid for that, I bet. Oh, well. You'd think I'd get a comp ticket, wouldn't you? I don't know. No, I'll happily give them money. Anyway, enough waffle there. I do hope that yous are all having a fantastic week thus far and that yous aren't all bedraddled with this coronavirus nonsense that's going on. And I know before people say, it's not nonsense, you know. It is serious. It's a deadly disease. It is a deadly disease, but you've got to remember, right, coronavirus has killed something like 2,800 people now, and that's serious. You know, people are dying. The flu kills something like 82,000 a year, standard. Okay, so there's a lot of perspective that we're losing, I think, because of the media. The media are trying to scare the living shite out of us for this. It's affecting the markets, it's affecting everything else. And I think we just need to chill a bit. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, in about 3 episodes' time, I may well be, this podcast will just be an emergency message that the podcast networks will have taken over and been like, please find your nearest cell of collective humans, go and be safe. Beep, beep. Please find your collective cell of humans, go and be safe. Beep, you get the point. Hopefully not, like, because, you know, where would you be without diamond content like this? Honest to God. Thank you for listening to me, Waffle. This has been a midpoint. Now let's get back to some scary stuff. But before I do, just to reiterate the email address so you can send any stories, because I do need more. I'm forever wanting more. Please send them over to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I, of course, will read them out. Shall we get back to some more spooky stuff? I think we shall. See you on the other side. Okay, and we're back, and I'm going to go into the depths of sincerity and seriousness with you now. It's getting dark outside, right? Upstairs in the flat. Upstairs is my safe space, remember. But upstairs in the flat, it's getting dark outside. I can see off the balcony, just about make out the live birds there, and it's getting very dark in Liverpool city centre. Now, I haven't turned on any additional lights other than the one light in the kitchen. It's an open plan living room with a kitchen in it. So it's also getting very dark in here. Now, I'm going to remain in this darkness whilst I read the following stories. For two reasons. One, I kind of like getting scared until I get too scared and then it's game over. And for two, I refer to number one. Anyway, let's crack on with our tales. So this email comes in from Bex Oliver. Remember? No I? Yes. One of our wonderful Patreons. And Bex writes, "Hi, Kevin Becker. I've been pretty useless as a listener so far, as I do not have any experiences of the paranormal." That's fine, Bex. Absolutely nothing has ever happened to me at all. I'm not too sad about this, as I'm a massive scaredy cat, so it's probably all for the best. But it does render you slightly useless in terms of listener content paranormal podcasts. Fair play. Whilst out for the evening recently, me and a lovely new friend got onto the topic of ghosts and the paranormal, and I asked her if she'd ever had any kind of weird experiences, and wowza trousers, what a conversation we had. She goes on to say, "The shadow figure story below gave me goosebumps, even though I was in a boiling hot underground bar and slightly worse for wear. So when the hangover had receded, I got her to email the stories, and below is what she sent through. She doesn't want to be named, but I do have to stress I am merely the conduit of these stories getting to you." And in brackets, she says, "Better than nothing, though. They're all from her, and after reading through these, I'm not sure I ever want to meet her mum. You know, just in case something rubs off on me. Hope these are useful for you. I can now rest easy feeling like I've done my bit, although I will continue to run round Devon and Cornwall gathering stories from friends and family," in brackets, "who all seem to have the magic touch, by the way. Helpful ghosts closing windows, out-of-body experiences, and giggling children deep in the woods." You need to really send that one in. That sounds petrifying. "Some peeps have all the luck," she says. "Keep up the good work and hope Saudi Arabia was fun. Best wishes, Bex." So you'll note there was no music behind that. That's because that wasn't a ghost story. That was Bex giving us a little bit of a teaser trailer as to what's to come. So these are the stories from Bex's friend. And the first one is called Imaginary Friend. "When I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend called Worry. He was a small ginger boy with freckles, about 8 years old, with a small brown dog. He was called Worry, because he was always anxious and worried about things I didn't think were scary, such as swings, slides, crossing the road. I was convinced he was real, and I used to talk to him and my mum lay out food for him, etc. One day, I came back from school after learning about the Victorians and showed my mum a picture in my book of a Victorian chimney sweep and told her, that's the kind of thing worry wears. This freaked my mum out as our house was pretty old. She dug into the history of the house and found it was built in the mid-1800s to house farm workers for an orchard, with our house being the first one to be built. As far as I'm aware, she never looked into the deaths of the children or anything like that, but my imaginary friend's clothes definitely tied into the history of the house. Eventually, I just stopped seeing worry, although I do have memories of him like he was a real person. A number of years later, my auntie moved in with us for a while. She was terrified one night as she was convinced an animal was on her bed. She described it as a dog circling, looking for a place to sit down. She said this occurred sporadically, but often. My mum occasionally screams in her sleep. As soon as my dad wakes her up, she has no recollection that she was screaming. One night my mum was upstairs asleep and my dad was downstairs, and my mum started screaming, so dad ran upstairs to wake her. He said that when he entered the room, he saw two glowing blobs hovering over her. He said one blob was larger and one smaller. Dad made the connection to worry and the dog checking up on my mum. In brackets, up until this point, he'd been a complete skeptic. My dad said the orbs did not scare him at all, but he does feel shocked and confused. Wow. That is amazing. I'll be honest. The fact, you know what scares me more than that, and it's stupid, and it shouldn't be scary. The fact that the imaginary friend's name was worry. The fact that its name was an emotion. That terrifies me, and I don't know why. I don't know why. You know what I think it is? And this is a very abject reference, and not many people are going to get this. There's a conspiratorial game. You know, like on YouTube, some people put things on and say, we've no idea where this came from. And you're meant to go, ooh, that's interesting. Well, I'll very quickly say this. There's a video of a game, a computer game, called Petscop, P-E-T-S-C-O-P, right? YouTuber, have a look at it. The myth behind this video goes thusly, that I'll come back onto that story in a sec, actually, the listener story. But the Petscop thing, it's very interesting. So it's an interesting concept, and it's probably fake. But basically, this guy reckons that he went to a charity shop. He found a PlayStation 1 game called Petscop, and he started to play it. And he started to do like a recorded play-along. And you basically play the game with him. But it's clearly fan-made, but it's the most darkest game. It references murders that have went on that have been unsolved. It's horrible. And we don't know whether it's fake or not. So go and check that out. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is because there's a girl in that game and her name is Care, as in C-A-R-E. And I don't know what it is. When you name thing as an emotion or as an emotive word, it really bothers me. So that thing, worry, just sounds terrifying. Anyway, to the story. What's most interesting about that, apart from the terrifying thing with the name, is that you remember it as a real person. Now, interestingly, my cousin Liz had an invisible friend, and I can't remember his name. I'll try and remember it for next time. But I need to ask her now, can she remember him? Can she remember what he looks like? And you know what? Do me a favour. If you've got friends and family who's got invisible friends or had them as a kid, ask them now as adults. Do they remember them? Because that would be so interesting to see if eight of them say, no, he was invisible, just made him up. And if two of them go, yeah, he had like red hair and half his eye cut off. Because then to me, that says a lot. But that's a terrifying story. I'm not too sure about the orbs as well. You know, I've never been one for orbs, as well we all know historically on the podcast. I've been a bit of a doubter of the old orb syndrome. But that's on film. If you walk into a room and you see orbs, that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? You're seeing them with your own two eyes. That's not dust. You know, cameras will pick up dust with a flash. Your eyes won't, unless you've got a torch and you're FOD. But yeah, really unsettle me this. Can you tell in my voice I'm getting serious again? Do you know why that is? Because there's no lights. I should turn the light on and get more jovial. No, in fact, I shouldn't. Sod it. I'm going to scare myself silly. I just have by even saying that. Brilliant. Okay, next story. This next story is called The Person in Black. Another one from my parents' house. At the bottom of the stairs is a large mirror. Ever since I can remember, in the corner of our eyes, the family have seen a black figure walk down the stairs, past the mirror, and around the corner, but it's all been on the periphery of our vision. We believe the figure makes the exact same journey every time. They start in my parents' bedroom, go down the corridor, past the bathroom, and then down the stairs and turning left into the kitchen. It's always this direction and never back upstairs. We also all just get the feeling it's a woman. Although we've never seen a clear outline or figure or any distinguishing features that would indicate the figure is female. On Christmas Day this year, my boyfriend spent the day with us, and during the day, when he went to the loo, he came back asking if any of us had been upstairs, as he thought he'd seen a shadow walk out of my parents' bedroom and down the stairs. No one had gone upstairs or moved from the living room. We sort of offhandedly said, "Oh, it's the lady in black," and told him the story. But he refuses to believe that to this day. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah, straight and to the point. Although, yeah, what you do when you've got somebody who's that skeptical? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You send them to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, someone that skeptical, send them to the desert. No, that's terrifying, that, yeah. Corner of the eye phenomenon, isn't it? Or COTEP, when you see things out of there and you're like, ah, there's a woman. I mean, as you say, you can't tell it's a woman. But I don't know. I'm getting scared now. Now I'm getting real scared. Okay, I'm going to start putting lights on soon because I'm getting going to experience COTEP very soon. And Kev's COTEP won't be like your COTEP. You just see, is that a woman in black walking down the stairs? I'll be like, is that Freddy Krueger himself? Oh, look, he's brought the Predator with him. Oh, joy. And I haven't got my glasses on either, so, yeah, anything's possible. I just did a bang. No, you haven't. Stop being a tit. Right, another story. Let's make this the final one before I absolutely jump off the balcony. Okay, so this is the last one. It's called My Friend. This one is the most recent, and to be fair, this could be noise from next door or something like that. I live in a flat above a shop. On the right-hand side is another shop, which is empty at night, and on the left-hand side is another flat, but they are normally very quiet. I only hear anything from them if they have their kids at the weekends. Anyway, I was in bed and my boyfriend went to the bathroom to brush his teeth. I swear I heard something say, "My friend." I asked him what he said as he didn't hear properly and he swears he didn't say anything. I definitely heard it though. Months later, the same situation happened, but it was reversed. He was in bed. I went to brush my teeth and he heard someone say, "It's pointless." Our flatmate wasn't in and it was at night, so no one was in the shop below. And I definitely didn't say anything. I've also heard, "Thank you, Sarah." But no one's spoken and the TV hasn't been on. Recently as well, our housemate has been away cat sitting. I was home alone and I swear I thought she'd come back and was bashing around her room. I assumed she'd forgotten something. I went to check and there was no one in the room at all. We've also gone out and returned to the kitchen tap was running when we 100% didn't leave it on. I'm most skeptical of these stories. I think it's likely we just heard people next door being extra loud, and maybe we did leave the tap on, even though I have no memory of it. That's my stories. Well, that's also my bumhole going flap, 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 because you do have to go and mention a tap, don't you? Which, as anyone historic to the podcast will know, is the one thing, the one piece of undeniable evidence Becca's even witnessed, which is our tap turning on by itself. Literally, we both seen the faucet hand, or the faucet hand as you call it, whatever it is, coming down, moving down, absolutely doing it itself, and the tap coming on. Yeah, good job you reminded me about that. Because, you know, I was going to have a good night's sleep tonight, but you've paid to that. Thank you. No, sincerely, Bex, thank you for sending your friend's stories. And there's still two there as well, as you'll be aware, Bex, that I've not read. I'll save them for next week. Because, in all truth, right now I'm absolutely crapping myself. But I wouldn't have it any other way, because we all like a good scare, don't we? Yes, they said in unison. Hopefully not in this house, they didn't say it in unison anyway. But I say it anyway, yes. Wow. Amazing. Don't forget, if you want to scare the living shite out of me, send your stories to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. I'm looking around this flat now, very, very anxiously. It could be the coffee. It could be the fact I'm in the fucking dark. Or it could be the fact I'm literally expecting. You know when you get the heightened expectation something's going to happen? I've got that right now. And I'm doing it to myself. I'm fully aware I'm doing it to myself. I'm sitting in the dark talking about ghosts. You know, if you're going to put yourself in this frame of mind and get worked up, this is how you're going to feel. It doesn't mean something mad's going to happen. That was me. Because you had a bang then. I shit myself. Don't worry about it. I absolutely panicked, even though I done it. Anyway, enough waffle. Let's read out some of your lovely reviews. Yes, and some of your correspondence as well. Yeah, lovely idea, Kev. Thanks, Kev. Okay, so some of you have been in touch to say a few nice things, pass on a few bits of information, which is always very nice. Same address, contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Lucy White's been back in touch, and we'll read them out next week, Lucy. She sent me some more links from her lovely newspaper, which goes on about, you know, the highwaymen. Remember them? There's been yet another sighting, which we will cover next week. And also, she sent me something about Devon's Most Haunted Pub, which looks amazing. So we'll give a readout to them next week. Very good. Thank you very much. Also, we've had an email through from Laurie. Do you remember Laurie? Not the Laurie that I got confused. We're talking about now, the Laurie that I interviewed, the American lady who came over from Mullica Hill. She sent me an email. She said, been enjoying your podcasts and listening to them. Have to admit, I wonder what you were like as a kid in the classroom. Hey, I was good. I mean, my report card would say, has a lot of potential, but constantly stares out the window. And then she's also attached a photo of that she took in the dungeon at Warwick Castle. And there's a weird wavy glowing line in it. And there is. And I'll be honest, I really like this photograph because it's not your atypical orb. And I know that I poo-poo orbs all the time. But this isn't like that. It's more like, I don't know. I'll put it on Facebook group. Which reminds me, if you want to go and see the Facebook group, go over to Facebook, search We Need to Talk About Ghosts. You then have to answer a few questions to get into the group. But, you know, once you're in there, there's all lovely stuff. A lot of lovely people in there. But I'll put that picture up in there to see what you make of it. I like it, to be honest. It's not your bog standard orb photograph. It's very strange. So I'll put that in there. So thank you very much, Laurie. That's very kind of you to send me that in. I've also had an email over from Suzanne Ewens, who sent me quite a few bits of reading material, like books which she thinks I'd really enjoy, and they look great, so thank you for that. She's also sent an email saying, the photos of these books are from my home region of Hertfordshire, East Anglia, that may help with background or research for future episodes. Thank you, Suzanne. She says, a disclaimer though, I have not read them all for a few years, so the actual levels of writing may not be brilliant. Hello, we're talking about this podcast here. However, having local sources for local lore should be beneficial, especially if you do an episode on the Phantom Black Dog. I believe his name is Shook, said Kevin. We used to think we saw one of those in the derelict garages at the end of our street. And then she says, kids and their imaginations, eh? Or maybe not, Suzanne, maybe not. She says, I'm rather attached to my heritage and its history and not willing to part with my copies. But if you can find, I like this. I didn't expect her to send me the bloody books, like, but I do like, so she's basically sent me pictures of books and is now saying, you're not having mine, find your own, which is fair enough. I will, Suzanne, thank you very much. I've yet to find any similar print material with Western Australian content, but I'll keep digging around and share if I do find it. Hope things have settled down in the flat. Cheers, Sue. Well, there's several reasons why I can't comment on that, whether they have settled down or not. Namely, I've spent a few nights at my dad's because I'm that scared. Secondly, I've been sleeping with the light on, a sock over my face so that it still stays dark, and like ocean sounds in rather loudly on earphones so that I don't hear anything. So my sleep is effing abysmal at the minute. And it will only return to joy when, see, this is the thing, I say back as sceptical, but bloody hell, it turns out I need that scepticism. Otherwise, I'd go insane, I tell you. Anyway, thank you for all of the correspondence. Don't forget, if you want to send something in to me, send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. There's other emails there, and we've had one through on Twitter as well, which I will be reading out next week, so thank you for that. But let's get to some of your lovely reviews. Now, the reviews that we've had in, we've had a very interesting thing happen with one of the reviews, and I'm like, oh, wow, didn't expect that. Fair play to this person. But also, like, wow, didn't expect that. So, basically what it is, do you recall I got a 3-star review? And it was a very valid review. You know, I'm never going to say, someone's given me 1-star, you cheeky get. But, you know, they gave a 3-star review and they said, here's the reason why I don't like it, which was completely valid. And it was prior to where we've done Week and Weird, and we tried to move the Patreon thanks to the start and do these review things at the end and stuff like that. And it seems to be working because that individual then changed their review from a 3-star to a 5-star. They deleted it and then put a new one on, which is, you know, I didn't expect that, and it was very nice of them to do. So these are our reviews. So thus far, we've had this one, which I'll tell about. So it's from Flick Harris. And she says, love the new format, 5 stars. I've revisited this podcast after hearing Kev referenced on another podcast, and I'm so pleased I did. I absolutely love the new format, and the tempo of the podcast are just brilliant. Hence why I've also updated my review. Kev, you're a true star and absolutely fabulous. Well, with feedback such as that, be still my massive head. But no, thank you for, you know, not a lot. It's easy to leave a constructive feedback review. But not a lot of people would take the time and effort to go and say, you know what, that's improved. I'm going to, if I could leave a constructive feedback review, I can leave a nice review. So I appreciate that. That's very nice, yeah. We've also had another 5-star one. Great podcast. Very entertaining. Thank you. Was a massive fan of the Parapod and miss it terribly. Go to the Liverpool viewing. Can't wait to see the film. Go to the Liverpool viewing. Stumbled upon this podcast a few weeks ago and proceeded to binge to listen to every episode. Not usually a fan of the Liverpoolian accent, are I? But soon got used to it. Kevin's a funny guy and tells a story well, and although he does go off on a tangent, it's always an appropriate or humorous one. Becca is a nice addition and reminds me of my ever-skeptical hubby who blames everything paranormal on a piece of string. That must be one strange piece of string. Keep up the good work, Kevin. And that's from Just1010 in Great Britain. Thank you, Just1010. And now we have another one, the final one. And it says, we need to talk about ghosts. 5 stars. Creepy, funny, and entertaining. Back to the trio of compliments. I like it. My name is Matt from Tennessee. Keep the great show. Oh, no. Great show. Keep it up. Love the midpoint in block capitals. Thank you very much. And that's from Blacksnshn. It might be Axl Rose. Blacksnshnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnn news. You know, it does help the show. This is the thing. If you can't, for whatever reason, it's none of my effing business if you can't give to Patreon. I'm just grateful that you download the show. If you can give to Patreon, by all means, please do. It helps us keep everything afloat. Go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. If you can't give to Patreon and you listen to the show, fair enough. It is free. And you know what? I absolutely adore the fact that you download it anyway. Irrelevant of Patreons. I mean, I love the Patreons, you know what I mean? But if you can't give to Patreon, then go and leave a review. You know, that's free. Just go and do it. It helps the show. But if you don't want to do that either, then fair play to you, you renegade. You're up my street. I like you. But until next week. Now, as I said, full disclosure, next week one will be a pre-record. I'm going to be recording that this weekend. So, you know, you will be time traveling somewhat next week. It'll still be a bloody great show. Don't get me wrong, you know. But it will be a pre-record. And the reason for that is, as I say, I've got a weekend of activities for Rebecca because I miss her so much. So much. But yeah, for Patreons, of course, you're going to get your extra episode this week. You will also get an extra episode next week because you get an extra episode every week. I think this week's Patreon, what have we got scheduled for it? I think this one's episode, we're going to do a little bit of a time travel thing. So they're going to be lucky enough to listen to some a recording which is no longer available. Yes. Anywhere. Yes. And with a little bit of an introduction via me. But in the meantime and in between time, I love you all very deeply. Deeply, bloody hell, Kev. Stay steady, man. But I will speak to you all next week. Thank you very much for your attention and for downloading. And I love you all. Daddy, bye.